Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State. The best outcomes for treating cancer come from early detection. The James Cancer Diagnostic Center is designed to provide rapid evaluation and a clear diagnosis to those who suspect they have cancer. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/diagnosticcenter.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. Columbus is one of the fastest growing cities in the United States. With more people expected to move or visit the region, infrastructure and transit are two parts of the urban landscape needing to keep pace. The Central Ohio Transit Authority, better known as CODA, has many projects underway to make getting around town easier. Plus, voter-approved sales taxes are helping to pay for billions of dollars in improvements over the next 25 years. Joining this hour to talk about these projects and the impact they will have on the region is Monica Teyes Fowler, President and CEO of CODA. Welcome back to All Sides, Monica.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
So just yesterday, you broke ground on the first project funded by the Link Us sales tax levy. You broke ground in Grove City on a pedestrian bridge. Tell me more about this project.
Yeah, we're very excited to celebrate our first transit supportive infrastructure project within the communities. We broke ground on the Hoover Road pedestrian bridge in Grove City, which ultimately is meant to create a safer walking path for students, residents, and visitors over the Interstate 71 starting this fall.
Okay, so the Link Us money, this is the first project, the first groundbreaking. You've been collecting the money for about a year. And before the show started, we were talking about that. So the sales tax went into effect in April, and you saw your first dollars in June of last year. So
that's
we're talking
right.
A whole year. So we're at the 1 year anniversary of you receiving sales tax money. Is that correct?
That's correct. We are at 1 year.
Okay. So some people listening may be wondering, why the first project to have a groundbreaking? Like, why Grove City, right? Like, why not? I don't know. Maybe someone might be thinking, why not a groundbreaking right in the middle of downtown? So why Grove City project?
So, you know, last year, actually, our CODA Board of Trustees approved funding for 83 different transit supportive projects mm-hmm. over the next 5 years. And it's ultimately set out to build 150 miles of sidewalks, bikeways, shared use trails. 37 are funded for 2026 for design and or construction. And ultimately, this is all about, you know, where they are in their process. Mm-hmm. So design for some of these projects is being funded. You won't actually see any construction on those until they get through the design. It just depends on where the project is and how prepared they are. What we do know is we have several other projects that are underway. A second project is underway on Cook Road in Clinton Township to build and repair sidewalks, and a shared use path near our CMAX line on Cleveland Avenue. But ultimately, we should see another five more sidewalk or trail projects to break ground just this year.
Okay. So people in Grove City would say, why not Grove City be first for the big groundbreaking, right?
Yeah.
And but then other people would say, my neighborhood next. So how is it just that Grove City's project happened to be ready? And that's
They're very ready. They're very aggressive. yeah. And I think, you know, it's all about that being prepared. Similar to any other project, it's about how quickly you can move things along. And we know projects, you know, construction projects often take some challenges. They've got to work with their community. There's a process. But ultimately, Grove City just moved fast enough. They were ready for this. They had kind of been lining this up. We had yesterday was very exciting because we also had some the business community out there who shared their own experiences, as well as, you know, some sharing stories about, hey, we live on this side of Interstate 71, and my son goes to school on the other side. And this is what this means for him. Now he can ride his bike to school. So you know, I'm excited about Grove City's groundbreaking yesterday. But it wouldn't matter what community it is, because ultimately what this means is the dollars that were made for the region are already being spent. They're being put to good use. And that's ultimately what we want to see.
And since it's a sales tax, so you've been collecting sales tax money for about a year.
Yes.
And so like from June to June, does it vary each month? Because just because of how much people buy, like do you know? Can you predict how much money you're going to be getting since
sure,
it's a sales
yeah,
tax?
Sure, yeah, it fluctuates. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, we see a difference during the holidays. We see a difference during sales tax holidays mm-hmm. that we get in the state of Ohio for, you know, back to school stuff. So, yeah, you see a fluctuation. But what I will say is that the region continues to perform extremely well. We have been very fortunate. We are coming in with what we expected to see, which allows us to continue to use those dollars and be able to share with the TSI committees, which are the Transit Supportive Infrastructure Committees. These are the expected dollars to be spent in 2027. So right now, we're already working on bringing something to our board in July for 2027 projects that will be slated to be funded.
Okay. Yeah. So you're trying to predict what money will come in and have it slated to be spent yeah. as it comes in.
Yes.
So Broad Street. Let's use Broad Street as an example, because I think that a lot of people, you know, Grove City will be very excited about their sidewalks and their bike path that you're adding. But what people really want is these bus rapid transit lines up and running. And the one I think that we're closest with is Broad Street, right? Because I read that it is 90% designed. So when will we have a groundbreaking and get started on the first bus rapid transit line?
Yeah, well, very excited. Yeah, we're at 90% design. We're really trying to push to get to that 100% design. We continue to move forward and make lots of good progress. But, you know, it is a major project, infrastructure project. It's also federally funded. And with any kind of federally funded infrastructure project, you know, timelines shift. A lot of that can depend on, you know, federal review. It can depend on decisions about funding. It can depend on ultimately the project complexity. You know, you have a design, but until you're at the 90% and further, you really don't understand, you know, what are the complexities and what do I have to deal with? So we're working through some of those, but we continue to make progress. Right now, we continue to push. What is going to really determine the timeline is this federal grant that we're going after. So remember, we went out for the levy, and Link Us is an $8 billion initiative. What I want to remind everyone, that doesn't mean that we're getting $8 billion, that we have $8 billion sitting around. What we're doing is we're using the sales tax dollars, the local dollars that we're receiving, to then go to the federal government and leverage those dollars and say, we have this portion, help us finish the rest of this out. And that's going to happen with each corridor. So we do have to work very closely with our federal partners, and they have their own risk tolerance. So they'll add additional timelines in our timeline. Like, this will be our schedule, but the federal government's schedule will have some contingency in there, because they want to ensure that if they're funding any projects, that those projects come in on schedule, which is a reasonable expectation, right? When you're asking for hundreds of millions of dollars.
Can you get started, though, while you wait for the federal money? I mean, I feel like if the federal government takes forever, we could get started here locally.
There is a portion that we can get started on, and we are working on that. A lot of that still requires a risk on COTA's behalf, and that will be up for our board to decide how much risk we accept. They have already approved some things, right? One of the things we know is in order to procure buses for this bus rapid transit line, we're looking at 60-foot buses. Well, the procurement for those buses is quite lengthy and takes some time. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to go to our board and say, we want to start this procurement now. That's a risk, because what happens if we don't get this funding? And that question was asked. So our board is asking the right questions and trying to understand the risk behind it. But they're very supportive, and they're doing everything they can to support us so that we can do the work that we can accomplish before we receive that federal funding.
Now, the Columbus Dispatch reported that the Broad Street project is delayed by 16 months. And then the COTA spokesperson, your spokesperson, told WOSU too, the timeline is fluid. I'm putting the word fluid in quotes. So is it delayed? Is it fluid? What word would you use?
You know, like I said, the timeline shift, and a lot of that just depends on the review. What we know is we continue to work with the FTA, the Federal Transportation Administration, and you know the schedule that we have worked out with them is agreed upon. We just have had to communicate some of those timelines that maybe had not been communicated previously. So it may look like a delay to some. Again, I will say the timeline that we are given by the FTA does not necessarily mean that's the timeline that this will actually be built on. We still have our own internal schedule. We still have commitments to get three corridors done with bus rapid transit within a very short period of time. And, you know, really, I recognizing that we're at 90% with West Broad, East Main is right behind that corridor at 60% and, you know, pushing. And so we know that we'll be able to beat the timelines that are set out there. But this is something, again, that we have to work very closely with our partners, and we have to accept the contingency in schedule and in cost in order to continue to move forward in a positive light with the FTA.
The date that I saw was that bus rapid transit would be up and running on Broad Street by December of 2028. Can we still say yes to that?
I can't say yes to that because a lot of it depends on when we actually break ground.
Hmm. Okay. So,
but
I'm going to push a little more because people are paying the sales tax, and I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm not a very patient person. I got into a little disagreement on this show whenever we did a show about passenger rail, because I think that getting a passenger train here in Columbus is taking too long. So tell me how you're going to keep me patient waiting till if December of 2028 doesn't happen. Now I have to say 2029. And that just seems like a long time to wait.
Mm-hmm. When we do receive the federal grant, and we can say notice to proceed on construction, because that is the big piece that we're holding off on, is that grant. Mm-hmm. Once we break ground, once we start moving, then we have a better idea of what that schedule is, and then you can hold me to that schedule, Amy.
Okay, I'll hold you to a date after, but we have to wait till we get the federal grant.
Yes.
All right. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we are talking about Central Ohio Transit plans with Monica Teyes Fowler, President and CEO of COTA. The person that you had in charge of the Link Us program, Dorinda McCombs, I'm not sure if I'm saying her first name right, she left her job after only 7 months. Is this causing any delays in planning?
No plans whatsoever have been delayed because of any personnel changes. What I will say is I am the CEO, and ultimately the buck stops with me. I'm engaged in all facets of the Link Us initiative and continue to move things forward as scheduled.
Well, the quote that I read about her leaving said that there was a misalignment in how Link Us should be delivered, and now McCombs is no longer with the organization. So what does that mean? What happened with having this Link Us program coordinator?
Yeah, that's a personnel issue, and mm-hmm. I prefer not to speak on personnel issues.
Okay. What I understand is that you are now taking over that position. So are you going to hire another number two, or are you just going to put yourself in charge of Link Us planning?
So we continue to work to outfit our Link Us capital delivery program team. We do have a position open, but ultimately I have always been involved, Amy, and will continue, even when we hire someone else, to be involved. The complexity and the, you know, crucialness of this project to this mm-hmm. community is something that I would not take my eyes off of for anything. So it doesn't matter that I have someone in there who I 100% trust. It is a matter of, you know, this has to happen for our community, and I want to meet the expectations with regard to schedule for some people. You're right, we're collecting sales tax dollars. People want to see the outcome of Link Us, and I'm committed to making sure we're doing that, and as is the rest of the COTA team.
Okay, so you are hiring a new Link Us program coordinator, though?
We are hiring a chief of capital delivery, so it will be all things, including Linkus.
Yeah, because I was wondering if, you know, I read that you were going to take over, you know, take the helm of the Linkus planning. But do you have time to run CODA's day-to-day operations and do the future planning, too?
Yeah, like I said, I have always been involved. So this is not really a shift for me. It's not a shift in anything we're doing within CODA. And it will not be a shift when we have a chief of capital delivery. I am very involved, as you know, I am with many other facets of CODA. I continue to be involved, and I'll continue to do that. That's just how I feel like this initiative needs to be managed.
Okay. Are you close to hiring this new person, or did you just start the process?
The job's been posted for some time, and mm-hmm. so we're using a service and a recruiter.
Okay. I read that you have 7 projects breaking ground in 2026. So I'm putting another date on things for you, but we still have 6 more months in 2026. So maybe don't list all 7 projects you have planned, but what are some of the ones that we can expect to break ground that are similar to the Grove City one in the next couple of months?
I kind of mentioned the Cook Road in Clinton Township, and some of them are just other, whether they be sidewalks or trails, shared use paths, those types of things.
So the Cook Road one, did you have... Because like yesterday you had a ceremony,
yep.
And there were shovels, and there were pictures taken. Are you doing that for all of them? Did the Cook Road one have a shovel ceremony with pictures?
It hasn't happened yet, but we will be doing a ceremony. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
These are Linkus dollars being put to use. We want to make sure that everyone in the community recognizes these are your dollars, your sales tax dollars at work.
Okay, so Cook Road, and then what's the other one you mentioned is coming up?
Oh, I don't have a
you don't
example,
have another one?
Okay. Example, but yeah, there are several others coming this year.
Okay, and just one more time, so the Broad Street one, the bus rapid transit one, when we can have one of those ceremonies with the fanfare and the shovels into the dirt, you don't know exactly when.
We don't have a date yet.
Okay, do you hope maybe it can be one of those for this year?
We do hope that it could be one this year. And a lot of that, again, will depend on where we are with the federal grant.
Okay. And the federal grant might not want you to put a shovel in the ground until they approve it. Is that what you're saying? That you kind of like, it's like a chicken or an egg thing. Like if you use some of your money, the federal government might, I don't want to say get mad at you. Like, is that the wrong word? Yeah,
it's not get mad, but there is a process that mm-hmm. they prefer to stay with. And again, a lot of this will be us not trying to get ahead of the FTA. And so, yeah, we look to our partners for guidance on timing.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about plans for Central Ohio Transit, and we're talking with the president and CEO of CODA, Monica Tejas-Flower. And in just a moment, when we come back, we're going to talk more about short-range transit plans, things that are happening very soon to improve and expand bus service. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jarovich. Infrastructure and transit are two parts of the urban landscape needing to keep pace with the growth happening in Columbus in the coming years. From Linkus to bus rapid transit lines, we're talking about the impact these projects could have on Central Ohio as the region's population is expected to increase by about 1 million people in the coming decades. LinkUS is COTA's $8 billion plan to build bus rapid transit corridors, improve services, and invest in over 500 miles of sidewalks, bikeways, and trails by 2050. Central Ohio voters approved a 0.5% sales tax increase to fund the LinkUS plans. And still with us is Monica Tejas Fowler, president and CEO of COTA. Thanks again for being here today. Oh, let's get your mic on. Yep. Thanks again for being here today.
Happy to be here.
Okay. So I wanted to pivot from long-term planning to some of the short-term plans that are happening right now. COTA has been holding a series of public meetings on its short-range transit plan. Can you remind listeners of some of the goals of this plan?
So our short-range transit plan is really COTA's year-by-year service investment plan, and it's really set out for the next 5 years. It really helps us determine where we should add service, improve frequency, expand our hours, really realign routes, and invest resources that would meet the community needs. And currently, the plan is really being designed to guide our near-term implementation of some of the, like, set us up for that larger LinkUS vision by identifying, you know, how do we make moves now that are fiscally responsible improvements that can be made between 2027 and 2031 that will incorporate the bus rapid transits when they're up and running.
These public meetings, I mean, do people come to them? Do they give their opinions? I mean, what happens at these public meetings?
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a lot of engagement, whether that be at the public meetings. We've also met with a lot of the jurisdictions to discuss, you know, this is what this is shaping up to look like. We adjust some of the plans based on feedback we receive. When there's concerns, we want to make sure we understand what that is. Ultimately, it's about figuring out, you know, what resources we can use and leverage and really kind of pivot to provide the best service to the community. The plan is typically goes through this entire public process. It goes to different working groups as well. And then ultimately, this all comes back to our board and our board has to approve it.
Do you attend the public meetings to hear what people have to say?
From time to time. I can't make every public meeting. Yeah. I'm sure you can imagine I get pulled in many different directions. I think this go around, I've attended one public meeting, and then we've had multiple meetings with just our leadership team to understand what's the feedback we're receiving, what the alignments that are being developed kind of look like, and why, what's the rationale behind it. So we have our own opportunity to provide feedback as well.
And I read that it's supposed to be a 30% service increase over the next 5 years. Is that still the number?
You know, it is. We have just since the LinkUS levy passed in November of 2024, we've already added 8.5% service back to, or increased our service. But ultimately, the short range transit plan, which is just a 5 year plan again, has an increase in 25% for weekdays service.
Okay.
And then it has a 54% for Saturday service and a 74% increase in service on Sundays.
That's a big percentage. So does that mean does that mean there's not much service on Sunday, or
there,
are you gonna
we have had a very slender service on service that does not serve people's purpose, and that's what something we're finding out. When we are all done with this, Amy, the proposed network would operate more trips on Sunday than our current network operates on a weekday today.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Tell me about increases you've seen in ridership in the past couple of years. I know you've been on the job for about 2-ish years. Is that right?
Yeah. As CEO, yes.
Yes. So what have you seen with ridership increasing? Because I know, you know, we're talking about population increasing. So how is your ridership increasing?
Absolutely.
I guess it's like a chicken or an egg conversation. Like, if you have more routes, or do you have more people first? Which one do you need?
Yeah. No. It's it. You know. I, I think the old approach in transit, in the transit industry, because remember, I've been in transit for over two decades now, was maybe a little bit of that, you know, wait till you have the ridership and then you add the service. Mm. What we have recognized is that's not really a reasonable approach, because people will not use a service if it doesn't serve their purposes. Mm. When we immediately after the levy, we started making improvements to our service, whether that be increasing frequency on some of our lines, or expanding hours. You know, we expanded our hours just in the May of 2025. So we tried to be very quick about making these improvements. In 2025, we saw a 5% increase in service. We hit 12 million rides, which is the most we've seen since the pre-pandemic. So ridership continues to increase. We know, you know, as we, anytime we add frequency, those weekend services, when we've expanded those hours, when we've increased frequency on those, on some of the routes, you see those ridership boosts. Mm. And that is just a matter of, this now serves my purpose. I can get somewhere and get back and have reliable transportation. And so people will take that.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about Central Ohio Transit plans with Monica Teyes Fowler, President and CEO of COTA. Listeners, if you have any questions about the future plans for COTA in Central Ohio, we'd love for you to give us a call. What would you like to see in the future? 614-292-8513. Email us at allsides@wosu.org. Again, that's 614-292-8513. A couple of months ago, I interviewed the superintendent of Columbus City Schools, Angela Chapman, and she was talking about the changes that they're making to their bus system, the school bus system, to save money. And she told me that Columbus City Schools operates a larger transit system than COTA. Now, I'm not sure if she meant the number of routes, or like, I'm not sure exactly what she meant by saying that her system was larger than COTA's, but is that true? Does a school district have a bigger bus system than the city?
I can't speak to it. I don't know how many buses they have or how many routes they run.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't push back on that. She just said it and I was like, really? I don't know about that. So, but that conversation led me to be thinking about like Columbus City Schools and busing, right? So there was talk of Columbus City Schools eliminating busing for high school students. And they decided to table that issue while they studied it to see, you know, how to serve high school students and still get them to school. And I think CCS was hoping that high schoolers could use COTA to get to the high schools. But as it stands now, does COTA have enough direct bus routes to Columbus City high schools? Have you been in talks with the superintendent about this?
Absolutely. I think we've been in very regular contact. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, you know, that we spoke about, Dr. Chapman and I talked about it, you know, I wanted to make sure there was an understanding that when we talk about this shift, this is not just a shift about buses. This is also a shift about the infrastructure that's out there. We need to make sure that our students can walk to bus stops, that there's proper shelter in place, that there's a safety surrounding these students. You cannot, you know, create an environment where you're now going to catch the bus and they don't have a safe way to get to those bus stops. So there is a very concerted effort to have those conversations. We have working groups. COTA is a part of that working group, as is CCS. And many other community partners, to ensure that when and if this move were to happen, that we're all prepared and we can make sure that the young people in our community are safe and they have the correct transportation.
Could you see a year or so from now, every Columbus City Schools high school having a bus stop at it?
Amy,
a COTA bus stop, rather.
Amy, I am originally from Dallas, Texas, where I rode the bus from middle school all the way to high school.
The public bus.
The public city bus. Mm-hmm. And so I absolutely see it. I think it's not unreasonable to have that as an option. There were many students who rode the bus, maybe not as far as I did because I went to a magnet school, but you know, I think that should always be an option. It is freedom for our young people as well. But I absolutely see a world where that happens. In Washington, where I also have spent some time, you know, the State House actually dedicated dollars to ensure that all students could ride transit for free. So they foot the bill for all students' fares across the state. And what that did was, you know, it really forced the transit agencies to ensure that all students had access to transit. So, you know, I think there's already been some initial work. We are pretty near every CCS school as it is, high school. Mm-hmm. We could probably pick that up. The concern, again, is the infrastructure to support those students and make sure that they can get to and from school and the bus stops in a safe manner.
Okay. And would there need, I mean, there would need to be money involved, because that's a part of the issue. Columbus City Schools is trying to reduce busing to save money, but then that would, like, you're not, you as CODA, you're not going to just spend money to help Columbus City Schools, because that's, that probably wouldn't fit into your business plan, right?
Well, and, you know, I can't spend dollars on the school stuff, but there are dollars being set aside for infrastructure such as sidewalks and trails. Mm-hmm. So there are certainly avenues that the Linca's dollars are committed to helping with this type of stuff. That would have to go through the jurisdictions in which, you know, the schools are near. So, for instance, and this is why there's a working group, mm-hmm. because the city of Columbus can say, how can we work on these? They can go through the TSI, the Transit Supportive Infrastructure Committees that I mentioned previously, to say, we've identified some projects that need to be prioritized, why those are priority, and they can you know, put their projects in for grant funding.
This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and we are talking about Central Ohio transportation plans with President and CEO of CODA, Monica Taez Fowler. And listeners, if you have a question about the future of CODA, give us a call, 614-292-8513. We have Rick in Columbus. Rick, what's your question?
Hi. Yes, I noticed recently a really nice facility opened up out in the Rickenbacker area. I wonder how that figured in.
Okay.
While I'm waiting, I'm watching a lot of buses go by powered by CNG. Curious if renewable natural gas would ever be in the mix for those vehicles. So
okay.
Two things.
All right. Thanks, Rick. That's all right. Okay. Let's start with the new CODA facility near Rickenbacker. What's he talking about?
Yeah, we have a facility at Rickenbacker. It's our mobility center at Rickenbacker. So we move some bus routes there. It allows for some better facilities and a stopping point for some of our operators. But it's also got space for some shared space for other things. So we are working with Columbus State to provide some space for learning opportunities there. Mm-hmm. We've also worked to try to identify opportunities to work with the Mid-Ohio Food Bank to provide maybe some of the lockers for food there to see if that would work. We've also are looking for opportunities to maybe find some other partners. I think there may be, you know, some financial or even some daycare. You know, we have space that we've built out there so that we can create more of a all-stop kind of one-stop place for everyone, people commuting back and forth from work in that area specifically.
Okay. Well, and then Rick brought up something I was going to ask you about later, but we might as well ask about it now, and that is electric buses. Is that what he was talking about?
I think he asked about the CNG.
So, yeah, what's that?
Compressed natural gas.
Okay.
And I think his question was, do we use renewable, or is there opportunity to use renewable compressed natural gas in there? And actually, all of our compressed natural gas is renewable. We do not do it. So everything is renewable compressed natural gas. So it is a very low emission vehicle.
Okay. So he was just sitting there watching buses go by, and did he see the letters on the side of the bus?
It says powered by CNG.
I see. Yes, okay. I didn't know what he meant. Okay. Well, then we will pause right there, and we'll hold the electric bus question for just a moment, because we're going to take a break. Listeners, if you have a question about the future planning of CODA, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Coming up, we're going to ask the CEO of CODA what she would like to see in the future for CODA, and we can take your calls. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Much has been said about the continued growth of Columbus and how it will impact the region. This will mean more riders, placing strain on the transit system. Is it ready for them? We're talking about the latest transit insights and innovations straight from COTA's leadership. Still with us is Monica Teyes Fowler, President and CEO of COTA. Thanks again for being here today, Monica.
Yeah, thank you.
Listeners, you can join us. What would you like to see in the future for Central Ohio Transit? 614-292-8513. Email us at allsides@wosu.org. So I tease this. There's been recalls and there were a range of issues that were there's range issues that have resulted in COTA placing a pause on buying more electric buses. So can you tell us what was the recall issue? What's the range issue? Does that mean like how far the bus can go? Like what are you experiencing with these electric buses?
Yeah. Well, first, I want to start with saying COTA remains committed to being a sustainable organization. But we did have to take a pause on the purchasing of electric buses. We did purchase 50 BEB vehicles. And since we've had them, you know, I think when we first purchased them, the commitment by the manufacturer was that we would receive 150,000 miles or 150,000 miles for the range, 150 miles, I'm sorry.
Okay, so the bus could go 150 miles.
Without having to be recharged.
Okay, got it. That didn't happen?
We're not seeing that, particularly in inclement weather, right? Mm. And we knew inclement weather requires more taxing on the batteries themselves. So it we knew that would be a thing, but we're not seeing close to what we anticipated. Now, when you bring in those vehicles, you have to have a very clear idea of where can I use these vehicles, because when you have to take a vehicle out to charge it, you're not switching a vehicle one for one. Mm-hmm. We can have CNG buses out there all day. It can be out there for a 10, 12-hour shift, and it never has to come back, right? Mm-hmm. A battery electric vehicle, if it's only doing 150 miles, you can see how, and then if we're using the AC or we're using the heater, all of those different things take energy from that battery. It has to come in. So that's been a challenge. We've also seen some recalls on the batteries themselves in particular. And, you know, I think the big thing to say is this is not something that Columbus alone, COTA alone, is experiencing. This is an industry-wide challenge that we're seeing across the country with many different transit authorities. Mm-hmm. Actually, when we go to our industry conferences, APTA conferences, that is a very big topic of conversation. What are you doing about your battery electric buses? What is the manufacturer doing? How can we help move this along? The technology is just woefully behind, unfortunately. And until the technology kind of catches up, we had to put a pause on that.
Did you return the buses you bought, or do we still have them?
We still have the buses.
Are they on the road?
Sometimes they are on the road, and we are very intentional about what routes we put those buses on. Mm-hmm. We are also working to install pantographs, which would allow in route charging. That would mean, so for instance, at the mobility center at Rickenbacker, we're putting pantographs there, what that would mean is if a bus goes out there, they could go to that transit center. They can charge while they're there waiting. Mm-hmm. And then they have, you can see, then they can stay out a little longer. So we are looking for how do we do this in a way where those buses can actually stay out a little longer and get the range that we really need in order to keep our service moving in the way we need it to.
Okay. So is COTA purchasing more, because I'm assuming you always need to be, you know, cycling in new buses, cycling out old buses. Are you going to be purchasing gas powered buses then?
So what we are doing is we have purchased 38 new CNG buses. We purchased, our board approved that purchase last year. We're beginning to receive those here this month all the way through September, and then we should be able to see them in full circulation in our service by September, by the September service change. We will stay with CNG until we can figure out the BEB question. And that is, you know, really having technology that is not just, known, but reliable. Because reliability is where the challenge is with BEBs.
Mm. So gas prices are on the rise for everyone. Are you impacted by this or no, because you're using it, you're not using like gas at the pump like we all are talking about who drive cars. You're using this
we use renewable CNG.
Did your costs go up though?
Our costs we have seen an increase in cost, but it is managed through we do hedging on some of that, so we manage it as best we can, particularly with regard to a budget.
Okay, so it might your cost will go up 6 months from now if
right,
ours
exactly.
goes down.
Yeah.
I see. listeners, you can give us a call 614-292-8513, and we have a question from Sharon in Columbus. Sharon, what's your question?
Yes, good morning. I have a question. One of the major routes in town, Route 3. Its northern endpoint is Kingsdale Shopping Center, and then Kingsdale used to allow people to park there, you know, for a park and ride. And recently, I think it's been several years now, the signs are all over the place here, parking only for shopping center customers. Do you have any plans? Are you in negotiations, or at least talking to the folks at Kingsdale, because that's such a major endpoint, and many people ride the bus, and I think right now they're parking in the neighborhoods, which also isn't great.
Okay. Thank you, Sharon. So people are riding the bus to Kingsdale, and then they don't they want to park their car and then ride the bus. Is that what she's saying? You don't have a park and ride over there?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any park and ride, she kind of said it's been going on for several years. I'm not aware of any prior agreement that was there either. I'd have to go back and look into the records to see if there was an agreement with one of the shopping centers there to allow people to park. I just don't have that. Again,
people were just parking there and there wasn't actually an agreement.
Right. Yeah. So I don't really have the background on that.
Okay. Yeah. We have Frederick in Columbus. Frederick, what was your question? Oh, I think that Frederick is not there. That's okay. All right. So now we can go to Francis. Francis in Columbus, what's your question?
My question or comment is about the reliability of mainstream. I've used it now for a few years, and I've noticed in the last 6 or 7 months that the reliability isn't there that used to be there. And also about getting incorrect information. I called one time when I was waiting for the bus to come to my home, and I called to see if the bus was on its way. And the person told me that it was 3 miles away. And I looked up from the telephone, and the bus pulled up in the back. So it couldn't have possibly have been 3 miles away. So the information that I'm getting is incorrect. And also, there's been a lot of delay and times when I've had to actually cancel doctor's appointments because the bus wasn't going to be here for like an hour.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering about the reliability of mainstream.
Thank you, Francis. Okay, so first, let's talk about what mainstream is.
Mainstream is our paratransit service. It is, you know, really put out to help to serve people with mobility challenges. So, you know, there's really kind of a door-to-door kind of handling with that mm-hmm. versus fixed route. You know, you go out to the stop, you get off, and you kind of make it to those places
so,
on your own.
So Francis can request a ride? Is that what you mean?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, request a ride and someone actually helps, you know, whether they have a wheelchair, whether they have, you know, a walker, whatever mm-hmm. the case is. So we always have vehicles that are equipped with mobility functions. So that's really what our mainstream is. It's really for people with mobility challenges.
Okay, and so the issues with reliability that Francis was mentioning, have you had that experience? Do you feel like this could be just a one-off instance where the bus happened to be late, or is it a frequent issue you hear about?
I have noticed some challenges with regard to a pickup or drop-off timing. Mm-hmm. So we have very high requirements. What I will say is that is a third party that actually does the service mm-hmm. for us. We have been really pushing them. What I was made aware of is they were having trouble hiring, but they have made some significant changes. They've gotten their numbers up. And Francis, I hope you'll see improved service in the coming months.
Okay, so you're not surprised to hear that there were some problems, but hopefully it's been fixed.
That's right.
Okay. We also have an email from Steve asking if you can clarify what recycled CNG means when you talk about powering the buses. Steve doesn't believe it was possible to burn natural gas twice. That's what the email says. I don't know enough about recycled natural. Yeah.
I appreciate that. I also don't know enough to know how that's recycled.
Yeah.
I just know that, you know, when you go out to purchase it, you can either compressed natural gas, and you can actually, do that yourself at your station, or you can purchase it and it comes through the pipeline and that's what you receive. All I can say is what we purchase is compressed natural gas.
Okay. All right. Sorry, Steve. We're not natural gas experts here. And then another thing I wanted to ask you about is whenever we talk about transit and development changes downtown, a transit request that we often hear about is an express route to John Glenn Columbus International Airport. Maybe something that runs from Ohio State University, has a stop downtown, heads straight to the airport. Is that something that's on your radar?
That's something that's in our short-range transit plan,
okay.
Amy. So I'm sorry I didn't touch on that. But yeah, absolutely. That's a huge need. And I think, you know, as we continue to grow as a region, having regular service to John Glenn and to the Ohio State University is a necessity. I think if we want to really kind of mature as a region, that's something that we have to do it.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to give me a date. Can you put a date on it? When we'll see
an express
bus?
I can't put a date, but it'll be within 5 years because that's in the short range transit plan.
Okay. Within 5 years. All right. Okay. So is there anything else in the short range transit plan? I feel like we ended up pivoting away from the short range transit plan quickly that you wanted to touch on. I know that we briefly mentioned increasing frequency of buses. Talk to me about the difference between adding a route and adding more. Is it you're adding like more buses, like that comes more frequently? Is that what that frequency means?
Frequency, yes, that's mm-hmm. exactly what it means.
Okay.
So let's say, and what I'll say is we still had several lines that were running on a 60-minute frequency.
Which meaning one bus an hour.
One bus an hour.
Yeah, okay.
See? So so you can kind of see somebody misses that bus, they would have to wait an entire hour before another bus comes. That's not really usable or that doesn't serve anyone's purpose. And so we really are trying to completely do away with 60. Our hope is that we will have no lines that are on a 60-minute frequency. We have some frequencies that are still 30 minutes. That's still improvement from the 60 minutes, but what we're really looking for is that sweet spot, is that 15-minute frequency. Mm-hmm. And any of our very busy corridors, we have really focused on that. We've already increased frequency on eight different lines already. Mm-hmm. And so we want to continue to see that because we believe that's what serves people's purposes. It allows them to move and it gives them more options.
Go ahead. Because
you asked more, like, what's going on. I did also want to share the short range transit plan also identifies 5 additional zones of COTA Plus. And COTA Plus is our micro transit service. So that kind of works very similar to the Uber and Lyft. Mm-hmm. We have an app for it. You call a car. It's a point to point service. So pick me up on the corner of High and, Chittendale, and then, or, you know, drop me off, you know, at High and Broad. That's kind of, you can't get it downtown, by the way, because we have a lot of service there.
Okay.
But it's in particular zones where we don't have a lot of fixed route service. That's the intention, is kind of cover and also create that last mile connection.
Okay. So this is to help expand COTA outside of the where you have the most buses, which is downtown,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And you said that's a part of the short range transit plan. So what increase did you say?
5 new zones. So right now we have we serve Grove City, mm-hmm. we serve Westerville, and we serve Southside Columbus.
Okay, those 3 are active.
Those 3 are active already.
And you want to add
5 additional.
5 more. Can you tell me which areas, or are you studying?
We'll be studying, but we will be announcing one later this year, not to be shared yet.
Okay. But it's going to be, so you said you have Grove City, Westerville, so I'm assuming it'll be, a suburb of Columbus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, we're out of time, but I want to thank you so much for joining us for the hour. Our guest has been the president and CEO of COTA, Monica Teyes Fowler. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And you've been listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. Thanks for joining us.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.